Romancing the Dungeon is intended for mature audiences, as this show contains adult themes. But, like, not those kind of adult themes. Just some sensitive stuff that some audience members may find upsetting. Content warnings for specific episodes can be found in episode descriptions. You're listening to Romancing the Dungeon, a softcore D&D podcast about heroes navigating their daily lives while looking for love in a world full of peril, monsters, and heartbreakers.
It has been an eventful couple of weeks for the people of the Grove. 6 weeks ago, Clodagh Menamun, the daughter of the Grove's leader, Pater Menamun, returned, having left the Grove a couple of months ago. Her return has been marred by questions and ever-growing concerns about the state of the Grove, and more importantly, the wilds beyond it, the woodlands that protect those who call the Grove, the village, their home. The rot, a infestation, a scourge that has festered and taken hold of the forest and the woods, has grown rapidly and invaded aspects of this holy place that it's never reached before. Many are questioning if this is an omen. Many others are wondering if Clodagh's return is tied to it. Of course, this being a small, closed community, those questions largely go whispered. Nobody feels the right or the need to directly question Pater Menamun, let alone his daughter, as to what happened in Galeshire, why she has returned. Clodagh, for the better part, has kept herself to herself, staying at home, only leaving the house in the company of her grandmother, Nana Metamoon. As the weeks kind of traipsed on, Pater announced that he was retiring from his role as captain of the Grove Guardians, focusing specifically on his family and his duties as the village leader. He named his replacement as Oisin, a young firbolg man around the same age as Clodagh, and many are quite happy. Oisin is a diligent and, if not slightly, overly enthusiastic about his job as a guardian. People feel safe in his hands. The other thing that people are whispering about, talking about, is the first encounter of an individual who made their way into the Grove, having then squared off with Oisin and two other members of the Grove Guardians. A young woman by the name of Grace was somehow taken down and has spent the last 5 weeks imprisoned in a makeshift cell. Life has continued on as normal as possible for the villagers. People are looking forward to an upcoming potluck gala at the end of the week, and preparations are well underway. Long tables are being brought out of storage. Bunting is being put up. Decorations are being set up and on display. And there is, for all those who are going to be participating, a really good vibe about the village. One that people feel has been off for a little bit, but there seems to be kind of a return to these high spirits, despite all the other unanswered questions. Life is doing what it always does. It's moving on. And as we kind of move through the week, and you've all taken the time to prepare for the potluck, whatever that might be, you find yourself enthusiastically, apprehensively, cautiously heading towards the Basilica, the core of the village here in the Grove, a temple, a town hall, a meeting space, a community center, a would-be tavern at times, a huge space in the southern end of the village where, for any sort of community event, the people of the Grove gather. And there, with your bundle of baked, cooked goods, you are making your way. Trip. What are you wearing? Who are you wearing? There's the Joan Rivers wood outside. Who are you wearing? My daughter, she needs a job.
Who are you wearing?
For Trep, what does going to the gala mean, and what is he bringing?
Trep would be in his home, probably setting out some dry tea leaves into little boxes of different flavors, making sure he has a little bit of shortbread and little triangle sandwiches cut in a sort of afternoon tea display. That's what he's going to have around his little stall. He hasn't dressed up for this. He's still wearing his sort of baggy string white top, his little peach colored baggy pants, and some plain white wood sandals that clip-clop as he bounces around the town.
Yeah, with your goods prepared and kind of that sort of, well, if I just wait in my house long enough, the event will start and then I don't have to go. There's kind of a knock, a very sharp, pointed knock at the door, and you just hear on the other side, yep, and you recognize Nana Metamoon outside the door.
Oh, hey, Mrs. Metamoon. Guess it's time to go. I can meet you there.
You could, or you could actually make yourself useful and carry me there.
That would be unlike me, being useful.
There's that spirit.
Okay. And Trep will open the door. He shuffles across with like a little tray of treats in one hand, and he'll kind of bow down. His ears are very long. They go past his hips. He stands a noble 4'3", and his ears down beyond his hips, but he'll bow down and kind of scoop them up, almost like, I suppose, like a digger's trough. Is that maybe like, I'll hop in, Nana.
I meant metaphorically carry me there. I'd love a young gentleman on me arm as I'm going. I'm hardly bringing Noel.
Okay.
Noel, her husband, Noel Metamoon.
Oh, okay. I can do that too, I suppose. Let's go.
Ah, yeah.
Nice to have company. Shame's not a bit younger.
I was thinking the same thing myself. Maybe somebody with a bit of pep in their step. She's also, if you're 4'3", she's 4'8". So she's a little taller than you, and she's humped down as well.
If you count the ears, I'm like 6'7" or something.
Well, if you count the shawls, she's 7 foot.
I feel like the ears are always jowling.
Yeah.
Dragging.
Just flopping around.
You're
across one eye, a size sweep.
Just a little emo. Yeah.
She's eyeing the little basket of goodies, and the little kind of display that you have. Well, that's lovely there now, isn't it?
Just something small, token of appreciation. After you.
And she, like, again, she kind of crooks her arm for you to kind of loop it.
Would you like me to sing a travelling song?
I would love a lovely travelling shanty.
Shamalick McGillivray. Watch your step on the almost dropped it.
Did you've ruined the symmetry slightly off now, but the way the sandwiches have fallen, they're back to squares.
Oh.
It's very traditional, Trip. Everyone loves a traditional sandwich at the potluck.
Why do I live so far from the town?
I don't know, but you're very frivolous in your decorations if you want to transport that to the potluck. It's okay, Trep, it's okay. Clodagh loves a traditional sandwich.
She does?
She does.
Oh.
Especially when it's cut into triangles and then displayed beautifully and ornately. Not like these. But I'm sure there's plenty of time for you to change and make an effort. And I'll bring the sandwiches for if you want to go back and dicky yourself up a small bit.
That's probably not a bad idea.
It's definitely an idea that I had that you should do.
Okay, I'll see you there, Nana Metamoon.
And if you're not, I'm sending the guards.
Okay.
I'm not taking responsibility for these sandwiches.
Seat trap.
And she's taking one out. And
yeah. she's not taking responsibility because she's going to be eaten.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened. It's just cute.
Clodagh did it.
It weren't traditional.
I was mugged. It was a drive-by sandwiching.
Trep, as you head back and Nana saunters towards the root, mm-hmm. or the, mm-hmm. I mean, nobody in the Grove calls it the Basilica, everyone just calls it the root.
Because splash. That, into the river I go.
Fall into the river. Okay. Nana kind of takes a long, hard look kind of at the scene in front of her, and there are these huge red bulbs that only bloom at night. And as the petals sort of unfurl and just sort of coil around, they begin to kind of shimmer and glow. And she watches just as the Grove Village is just lit up in this very warm golden light that has just a little red to the edges of it. She pulls her shawl a little kind of closer to herself, one of her shawls a little closer to herself. And she helps herself to a second triangle sandwich and continues towards the route. Aster, what are you doing ahead of time and what are you bringing to the route?
So Aster is in his study, in the downstairs living space of his study, putting the finishing touches on the box that he's carrying his mooncakes in. So he's...
Please roll for your... Yes, as we established. Please roll, and do you have... any form of cookery equipment or utensils? Okay.
I mean, I have the utensils and stuff there, but I don't think I have any proficiency.
Yeah, and to be fair, we did establish that you've probably filled those drawers full of scrolls.
Yeah,
paperwork
yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so you can give me a roll of a d20 at disadvantage. You don't get to add your proficiency.
That's at two.
Okay, so they smell exactly like the flowers. I think it was pansies mm-hmm. we went with. It's you probably get less of a bang of floral aroma had you actually just inhaled the flowers. There is so much essence of blue, specifically blue pansies, mm-hmm. in these mooncakes, and they are a hypnotically vibrant blue.
Aster has one to the side that he left for himself to sample before he goes so that he may speak about the particular notes, and he takes a bite of one and he just kind of thinks, yes, yes. This is a perfect conversation piece. And then he puts the box together and he ties a lovely little blue bow on this blue box. It tastes like it should taste in his mind. And he brings the box with him. It's quite small compared to him because he's quite large. And he would have worn, like where he was wearing his traveling cloak before picking up the ingredients for this, he's now wearing a kind of a fancier cloak. He knows that this is an event where people are going to dress up a little bit, so he's decided I'll fit in a little bit and I'll dress up a little bit too. So he's wearing this cloak that kind of kind of camouflages into his own natural leafage, and it's this steely blue color just to match his leafage, and he's going to head out.
As you make your way to the front door, the heavy box in your hands, because mooncakes are heavy.
Mm-hmm. I also think his apprentice isn't there.
Ambrose, yeah.
I believe Ambrose is meeting him at
yes.
the gala.
Yeah.
And Ambrose wouldn't have been there at all today. His lessons were cancelled for today because of the gala, despite the fact that Aster would prefer them have the lessons today, but he gave him the day off because it's nice.
Yeah. And Ambrose's mom sent you a letter.
She did.
The food... for the potluck in hand, you move to the doorway and you feel in your very core just absolutely drained. It's as if you've gone days, nights without the sun, without taking in fresh air, water. There's a pit in your stomach, and it's been there since yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's been there since you spoke to Nana, and as much as she tried to sort of assuage those fears, those worries you had, you couldn't help yourself. You returned home. You saw that Ambrose had tidied away most of the tomes that you left out for him to study. He had left his work that he had completed with a note saying he had questions. There was a constellation he wasn't particularly familiar with, and it was one that when you saw written down, the Amantes constellation, you became consumed by your work.
Mm-hmm.
And as you drift towards the door and you can see the lights just blinking into, or even kind of fading into illumination, just sort of down the road from your home, you think back to your codex and your starflower and your work in reading those constellations. And the first that comes to mind, and the one that sort of started it all, the Amantes constellation. You have to go back through your work. It's been a long, long time since this constellation appeared above the grove. And it is very, it's very, very strange. The Amantes is very much about being hidden. It's something that kind of, it's there in plain sight, but only until you stop to take stock of it does it actually mean much. And as you delve deeper into the work, delve deeper into the way the flower seems to mimic and capture the constellations overhead, you find that the Amantes constellation is not the only one that hasn't appeared in a long, long time. It's twinned with a second, the Dolus constellation. And that burns incredibly brightly, incredibly intensely, almost to the point of being obnoxious. But it was hidden. Where the Amantes constellation hangs, it has almost tried to blanket Dolus, as if it was trying to hide Dolus's intentions. And you spent the rest of the night consumed with trying to find out what those intentions were. So much so that you didn't sleep. So much so that now as you trundle down towards the route, you keep thinking back to what you have found and what they might mean, and just what that third constellation could possibly hold as your thoughts drift. And you can hear music and you can hear people talking and you can kind of smell the food being prepared and cooked fresh, but you are utterly distracted as you arrive at the basilica. Grace, you find yourself sitting in the cell. There's a dress-ish draped over the back of a chair. The door to your cell was unlocked by Oisin a little while ago. You were told that you had been given permission by Pater Metamoon to attend the gala. He didn't stop to offer any pleasantries. He simply unlocked the cell door again, which you could freely just walk through as it was built haphazardly and in a rush, because they've never had a prisoner ever before. So there, it's on good faith that you don't run away. And also they know you won't get out of the grove anyway, they think. Possibly. No one's sure what to do with a prisoner. They're currently trying to find a judge right now. As you sit there looking at the dress, your thoughts are filled about the conversation the night before when you snapped out of your meditation to find yourself face to face with the young woman that you've been sent here to kill. Clodagh Metamoon holding three dresses in her hands, smiling at you very anxiously.
These are for you, I guess. They might be a little big. I don't think I should be going to the gala. I mean, you'd rather stay here?
Well, yeah.
Why?
That's what prisoners do. They stay in prison.
I mean, you're not really a prisoner. We just have never had a person break in before. You didn't commit any crimes. Here.
Here, yes.
Insight check.
Yeah, give me an insight check.
Wow. First roll of the game and it's that one.
It's more a case of, I mean, Nana has come back from every visit to Grace with like, and she said this, and I think she'd be great friends with you. And you should talk to her. She's from outside as well. You have loads in common. And she's wrapped with the weight of the world around her shoulders. But she's kind of told, she's talked to you a little bit about her. And this is your first time meeting her, seeing her. It's the same when it came to seeing any of the others when you came back to the Grove. What do you talk about? What do you say to each other? It's more a case of you've just become accustomed to not really going below the surface. You see Grace shift awkwardly, but you don't know if that's because she doesn't want to talk to you or she's nervous about the three goonas that you're holding. You don't know.
Yeah. What way is the cell? Is it like makeshift bars or?
It's literally, I mean, if you know when you were a kid and you'd make like a jail cell yourself, but like.
Sticks.
Okay.
Literally, yeah. It's just sticks taken from the wilds.
Yeah, so she's just going to shove the dresses through the bars in the like opening that Grace could very obviously walk through.
Yeah.
And be like, just honestly, you'd be doing me a favor if you came. I mean, I need someone to talk to about not here.
Grace is just going to kind of like jump forward really quickly and grab the dresses. I'm pretty sure if I stayed here, your grandmother would drag me to the root by my ear. So
yeah, definitely.
I will go and sure, yeah, we'll talk about outside.
Cut back to you, Grace, sitting in the cell / room a day later. You can hear the commotion coming from the other side of the village across the river. You're staring at the dress that you selected from the three. What does it look like?
So the dress would actually be sunsetish colors. So reds, oranges, yellows. While it was fairly big, I'd never say that to Nana Merwin, Grace would use some of those sashes, kind of bind it a bit tighter in places strategically. Like, Grace knows how to wear a dress. So, yes, slay.
yes, Clodagh, slay. That's what I sent you here to do.
So, the dress would be...
Really, that's like going, come on, bitch.
It wouldn't be super, like, big or heavy, be fairly light because Grace likes to be light on her feet if needs be. It'll be nice and loose from like maybe the waist down, a bit more fitted in the bodice, nice and airy and just comfortable. It looks nice, like it looks very interesting because of all the different colors kind of swirling around. But Grace would be fussing a bit at her hair because she's like, I haven't had to do this in a long time, mm-hmm. and people are definitely going to be staring, so I might as well look nice, I guess. And yeah, she's very, very much uncomfortable. Like every 2 seconds trying to like shift something to adjust, and really does not want to be going anywhere near the basilica.
And it is a thing when you do step out. There is like there's a small kind of throng of people kind of all just heading in that way, carrying like basket, a box, a little bundle. And if you do look at you, everybody knew you were going. I mean, they saw you yesterday traipsing around the village with Nana Medaboon.
Against my will.
Against your will, yes. Yeah. most people assumed you were being held hostage by her.
But, true, true.
So, and again, the Grove being such a small space, people talk and people talk quickly. So no one is surprised to see you going there. People are just kind of taken aback by you, kind of just taking a deep breath, and the air is just as cold as it was yesterday afternoon when you were out and about with Mrs. Metamoon. You just, again, pulling and fidgeting in the dress, just trying to get comfortable in your skin as much as the dress. You just sort of storm your way to the route. And that, like, well, if I act confident, people will think I'm confident, mm-hmm. kind of a way. All the while, just anxiety boiling over inside. And speaking of anxiety, Clodagh Metamoon. Clodagh, it's been close to 6 weeks since you returned to the Grove. Almost half a year after leaving, you returned to the place that you thought you had turned your back on, you thought you had let go of. And as you wandered the wilds and the woods, making your way home, all the while Marilla's words echoing in your ears to find your own path, to make your own way, to go on your own adventure, you just sort of pushed forward through it all. And when Nana Medamoon found you in the woods, she was overjoyed to see you. But you felt there was something more behind the smile, that there were words unspoken, questions unasked. And in all of that, you found yourself starting to kind of lose who you were, lose that grip on what you had become and who you were becoming. And that only continued to permeate as you got home. Your mother and father, Ash and Pater Metamoon, the leader of the Grove, welcomed you back. You're their daughter. They're delighted to see you. And how much of what happened to Clodagh in that 6 months has she told to Pater and Ash?
I wouldn't say that much, especially not the whole thing with Nate. Probably that she was at the battle. She obviously has a very obvious scar on her face now, so they know that she experienced some fighting, but I don't think she would let them know how much peril she was actually in.
Your nana keeps pointing it out. She literally keeps pointing at the scar. Sure, it gives her character. It's a conversation starter. That's what Noel was saying. Well, he would have, but, you know, he's not, you know, your grandfather. He doesn't talk a lot. Mm-hmm. It's very quiet. He sits there about to say something. She's like, shh, no. She's tired from travelling. Poor Clodagh. Talk the ear off the girl, you would. And your grandfather just kind of sits back into himself. That's kind of what it's been since you've been back. Your father has... Hello. Good morning. Mm-hmm. How's your day? What are you doing today? That's kind of it. And on the other hand, your mother, Ash, has kind of tried to overcompensate for that. And it's very much a... What are we doing today? Do we want to craft? Do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to talk about anything? Is there anything, you know, do you want to have questions? Is there boys, girls, others?
No.
Okay. Lunch?
Maybe later.
Okay. It's going to be a long 6 weeks.
putting the mother in, smothering.
Putting the mother in, I'm going to kill the club.
I thought that was Grace. Wait, what? Is everyone again? Declan, mother.
Same person when you think about it.
Nana.
Same person when you think about it.
Frostgrave, oh wait, hold on.
Oh, she definitely wants to kill the club.
100%.
In all of that, there's only been kind of one sort of constant, and you've crossed paths with Oisin, you have met and avoided Aster, you've seen Trep, and he waved at you, you think, but he didn't approach, and even when you called out to him, he fell into the river. Even when your father announced that he was retiring and that Oisin was going to take over, you went to the ceremony, but you kept yourself to yourself. You would have left a lot earlier had Nenna Metamoon not just kind of with her hand, like literally that grip.
Yeah.
You've sort of just coasted the last 6 weeks, and now with nowhere to run from the potluck, give me an insight check.
14.
For the last couple of days, Patter, a satyr like you, in fact, you're probably, you look an awful lot like Nana Metamoon, like her features. You have her features, you have her height and everything, all 7 foot of her and Charles. Your father, you bring this severe side from him in that, like, he has antlers in the way that Clodagh has antlers. While you might look like Nana Metamoon, and by proxy, your mother, you carry your father's sort of temperament. Whenever he was in a bad mood, you were in a bad mood. But that was just to kind of like emulate him and also kind of support him, because in the Metamoon household, he's the blow-in. There's your mother and then your grandmother and grandfather, all of which are maternal. The distance that he has kept from you the last couple of weeks is only exacerbated in the last few days. And something tells you that there's something up with him. It's not just the, oh, you're back, let's not talk about it. There's something else bothering him. And the morning of the potluck gala at the Root, you find him in his study. It's also the washroom, because your mother took it over because she needed the actual washroom for her Potter classes. So his study is also now where the laundry is done. And he is mid-book. And you see him kind of like, he's just traipsing back and forth. And as you kind of go about your day, that's where you, every time you see him, you find him just sort of walking a path in the study.
She's going to knock at the door gently and then just be like, hi.
Oh, Clodagh, what, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine.
Okay, but you're not, though.
Is there something you need? I think your mother has left the dress up in your room. If it's not in here, and he's like kind of looking through bundles of laundry.
Did you say he was reading a book?
Yeah, he's just literally flipping through a book.
What are you reading?
And he looks at it, and he closes it, and he puts it on a shelf. It's just stuff about the grove. It wouldn't be of interest to you.
Can she see what it is?
Yeah, because he's not
far away.
Tucked, yeah, and he's not hidden it or anything. He's just put it back up. It's literally the tenets of the Grove Council. So it's just kind of rules and bylaws of the town council.
What time do you want to head to the?
Oh, your mother said we've to be there for 6, so 5:30.
Okay. I guess I should go get ready, if you're sure you're okay?
I'm fine.
You don't need help with anything?
No, Clodagh.
Okay. And she turns and heads up to her room.
You hear him rummaging around as you kind of head up to your room to start getting ready. And as you head into your room, you hear the door to his study close. And the evening kind of rolls on as you get ready. What is Clodagh wearing to the potluck, and what's she bringing? And it better not be appleberry fritters, because that's what Nana Menemen's bringing.
So it was going to be appleberry fritters. Now, she's going to make raspberry muffins. And for all intents and purposes, she looks like she's going to a funeral because she's wearing a black dress with dark purple and blue blooms.
Okay.
Her hair has been chopped off since the Battle of Tezrab, so it's kind of up to her ears now in a sharp bob. And her antlers have grown out. They're a little more aggressive looking than they had been. No blossoms in her hair. And yeah, she's just there to keep up appearances.
As you head down, you find that the whole family have gathered there. Nana Metamoon, Granda Metamoon, who goes to say you look lovely, but Nana stops him. And she says you look lovely, if not a little sad. In a lovely way. Sad in a love. You're welcome. Jeez, a bit of pop colour wouldn't go astray. Ash and Patter are all there. And you see, Patter is dressed very formally. Like, he's wearing sort of the elder robes. It's just, it's almost like kind of a, like a very kind of paisley blue kind of smock almost, with just a very tight sash and belt and kind of long flowing pants. And he has kind of a, just kind of a small kind of golden circle as a brooch pinned to his chest. Your mother is wearing a very similar dress to yours, a little longer, not as depressing and funerally, but a winter dress, so the colours are a little muted. She has like kind of just a kind of a ceramic pot tucked under her arm. It's leaking. She made the pot, and it does. It has. It just got roots stew in it. And Nana Metamoon has her basket of appleberry fritters. She's wondering if she should charge 15 copper pieces, because that's inflation.
These ingredients didn't come cheap.
No, they didn't, because Annie has absolutely fleeced the village. Because you get her going, she's now ranting the whole way, and she's on to Patter to put it on the town council's meeting for tomorrow. Most people are just ignoring her. Anyone that, like, in the, like, on the road to the route are like, oh, jeez, there she is. And there's no one, yeah, like, children, don't look at her. you're petrified.
She'll charge you for it.
Yeah, she will. But it is that thing, you know, a fate, serendipity, whatever you want to call it, what have it. As you arrive, Clodagh, you just hear Nana call out, oh, well, look, there she is, the prisoner. And she points over at Grace, who is wearing this, like, bright red, bright orange, bright golden yellow dress.
It was the most muted of them.
It was. This one doesn't light up.
Nana, she's not a prisoner.
Oh, guest? Is that what we're...
Prisoners don't get invited to parties.
Well, I... And she kind of... never mind. And she, like, yeah, Nana
Metamoon... Backstory, one shot. Backstory, one shot. Was she a war criminal?
We have to establish.
I'm a lot of places.
But she does. She's. You do see Nana Metamoon kind of waving over at you, and you see Clodagh and the rest of the Metamoon clan. All kind of there.
Is she like kind of...
Oh yeah, she's
me.
Full on gesturing you to come over. Trep, you are caught in the eye line of this.
Oh.
So it does look as if you're being gestured to come over.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. Then I definitely walk over. Is this after I've changed?
Yeah.
I've a little woolly hat on, which my ears poke through. And it's kind of a pastel blue to match the pastel pink pants. As if anyone who styles Bill Murray in a Wes Anderson movie has dressed me.
Love it.
But I am soaking wet.
Oh,
you fall again. That darn river.
It follows him.
Just as the pair of you, and again, Grace, you see a damp looking Trep sort of like slopping his way towards the Metamoons as well. Just sort of coming up along the road, Aster, kind of lost in thought. You can see the Metamoons in front of you, and you see Nana, and you can see Clodagh. And again, you start to, your mind drifts back to the reading and the divination in the flower. And as you forced yourself to stay awake and to stay alert and dive further into it, there was something else. There was that third constellation, and it was that, again, it was almost as if the Amantes was trying to just bury it all. It was trying to obfuscate the reading, the prophecy, the divination, the future, the fate. You don't know, but you were set on finding, set on discovering. And as you push through into the late hours of the night, early hours of the morning, just when you kind of found sleep starting to kind of take root, you discovered it was hidden amongst Amantes and Dolus, but the Fatum constellation. It is incredibly hard to trace. It is a peculiar constellation because no sooner had you found it, it almost seemed to shift, as if it was trying to stay out of your grasp, as if it's desperately seeking to remain unknown. And you're not sure why. You wouldn't normally bring such a precious item with you, but something compelled you as you walked out the door of your home. Just hesitate, and you reach over onto a shelf and you take your Starcaller's Codex with you. Again, there's a part of you that knows it's important tonight. Mm. Something is going to happen. There's change coming.
What does he read? Like, what does he know about the Fatum constellation?
The Fatum is tied... Give me a nature check.
Sure. I'm going to make it with disadvantage because that makes sense.
Yes, yeah.
That is 2 twos, but that is going to be 12.
Okay. Aster, as you... Again, it's like you've almost stumbled into the Metamoons as you were kind of like trying to decipher the constellation. What does the Fatum mean? What is it about? And you're not sure if it's the exhaustion or what, but you can't quite fully collect your thoughts. But it is tied directly to destiny, and it has shown itself at some of the most pivotal moments in recorded history.
I guess the exact thoughts that Aster is locked in as he bumps into the Meadow Moons is trying to figure out why this constellation is so tied to destiny, one tied to obfuscation, and the other that is trying to be hidden, are all lining up together, like as if he's trying to like unfurl like what message this is trying to get across, and he's just like very anxious as he gets to the rest, the crew, and I would just like probably end up bumping into Nana, or she would bump into me by ways of being like, hold on now.
it is that thing of you just sort of lost in thought, and like that urge to kind of reach for your codex and kind of maybe there's something here. Mm-hmm. And as you kind of reach down to get it, you do bump right into Nana Metamoon. Aster, Noel is standing right there and you have the indecency. And Noel goes, this, Noel, it's fine. It's fine.
Noel, I accept my apologies, please. I've been deep in thought.
Oh, have you now? And she kind of, she just rolls her eyes at it.
Less about that. It's good to see you. You look well, my friend.
Well, one has to try these occasions, don't you? Uplift the village a little bit. Do you hear that, Clodagh? Uplift the village.
Aster turns to Clodagh and just kind of gives you that bow that you've seen the last 6 weeks that he's been doing. That's just like a curtsy towards you. He just says, Clodagh, you look well.
Good afternoon, Aster.
It's nighttime, Clodagh. I'm sorry, Aster. She hasn't been out a whole lot. She's probably forgotten what the moons look like.
Technically, it's still after the noon. And may I ask, who is this?
Trep, Kylie, we know each other.
Trep. Trep. Yes, it's good to see you.
You've seen me grow up here.
I do know you.
It might be the wetness.
I was actually referring to the person who is standing beside you, who I've never seen in my life.
You weren't even talking to me.
this is Grace, Aster.
A pleasure to meet you. I am Astor Pentos.
She's a prisoner.
She's a guest, Nana.
Oh, sorry. Guest prisoner.
I think Astor turns to Clodagh and kind of snidely says, in Nana's care, both are true.
Clodagh stifles a laugh.
Huh?
I said, lovely to see you, Nana, as always.
Uh-huh. What have you brought to the potluck?
Oh, goodness.
Astor, what are you inflicting on the people of the Grove this year?
Nana!
I inflict many things, usually readings, predictions, but I predict this one will be a hit this year. And I produce a beautiful velvet-wrapped blue box that's, like, quite large, because Astor is about 7'5". So, like, to him, it's, like, this kind of size. And I just hand it.
For the listeners, it's sort of trap sized.
The box is like a quarter of a trap.
It's like when we eat the moon case, Kev, we can put trap in there.
A quarter of a trap is about a foot. Yeah. I brought my moon cakes.
Oh, you did. Right, well, everybody else, I brought actually edible food. So did Trap, but some of them fell in the river.
Oh.
And she starts to like brush some crumbs off herself. Most unfortunate.
I'd like to roll an insight check. Yeah. Another two, so that's going to be 9, I believe.
It's okay, Nana's passive deception is like 57.
Actually infinite. She burps and there's a very strong smell of egg mayonnaise.
Grace is going to start looking a bit uncomfortable because she's empty-handed. And she's like, of course, it was a potluck. And just kind of look at Nana, kind of panicked, like, you did this to me.
Oh, your grand would just stop. Nobody expects the prisoner to bring Arthur into the potluck.
But
guests, Nana.
But don't guests bring things to potlucks?
Yes, and that's why
not
she's...
Not in the Grove. Nana.
Somebody 6 months jaunt around Galeshire has given them a bit of a backbone, huh? Is the Clodagh turning on your old nan now at the potluck in front of everybody to see? Making a holy show of me in front of the prisoner. Guest. Guest. Is that what they call them in Tezrab? Guests. In the jail.
At that, Grace is going to say, nice to meet you, Astor.
Likewise.
Clodagh's going to just kind of reach for Grace's arm to guide her towards the route.
Yeah.
Grace is going to jump.
Sorry.
It's just been a while since
right.
I've been around this many people.
You could take my arm if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Grace is going to lean in and say, sorry. I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, yeah, me neither, actually.
And at that, Grace is going to be like, this is my sad homeboy. And just kind of like lean in and like take Trap's arm.
Oh, yeah. I was talking.
Nana has the other one. So Nana has the other arm.
Oh, boy. You're just swinging. Big rabbit feet. Oh, woo!
He's a good boy.
Uppies.
Trap, go up.
Astor offers Clodagh an arm.
She will take it.
Yeah, and Pater and Ash do the same thing, and then Granda Metamoon is just kind of standing there, like, holding the box that Astor brought. And, like, everything else, and is just kind of...
Guess I'm the mule, so...
And shuffling in, yeah. Just he doesn't say a word. He's just carrying everybody's stuff. Okay. As you walk in, the route is a... it's a spiral building. And it... There's no sort of... chambers or anything in it. It's very much sort of this open space that just sort of, like the roots of a tree, sort of grow and goes where it wants. And the halls are lined with tables that are covered in a mishmash of different tablecloths. Some fit perfectly, some are odd and round shaped. Nana tuts and kind of rolls her eyes at a couple of those ones. That's that Nora wine. You have no tablecloth. Slapped upside the head. It's that thing of like, you are putting bits, Noel Metamoon is putting bits and pieces down on the tables as he passes. And Nana Metamoon is kind of looking about. You can see that there's a couple of stalls set up with like little games. And your mother Clodagh kind of looks at you and just kind of gives kind of a half a smile. I promised your father that I would, and you see that she's kind of got a small little bundle kind of like hanging off her hip. Readings, and she moves over to a little stall and she starts to lay out a deck of tarot cards. Get your readings, and you can see that there are people already kind of, oh, Ash is doing her readings, and people are kind of flitting over to kind of take a look at what she's doing. Some of them are just kind of, there's like games. There's a rather happy looking halfling fella that you recognize, Aster, Trep, and Clodagh as Mossy Sharparl. He's just one of those lads that does everything. Like, your wagon broken, bring it to Mossy.
Carry a friend up a mountain if you want to.
He would. Not very far, but he would. He'd try. But sink clogged, he'll fix it. Your shelf a little bit wonky, he knows a fella. Just one of those lads that just does everything. And he's fixing for a marbles tournament. And you can see that he's like, he's beating back a load of kids. It's not a kids game. This is cool, it's for adults. And yeah, loads of kids are just like chucking marbles at him.
Excellent.
And some ways down the back, there's that long nest of tables that some of you would have seen throughout the day that some of the Grove Guardians were setting up. You see a rather like, quite a tall, quite a curvy Harongan woman, Winnie Starbrook. She is the blue ribbon champion in the Grove for her pies, and she's setting up for the annual pie eating contest. Nana is just surveying everything and just kind of like pointing out people to you, Grace. And you don't want to be talking to them now. They're not.
Can Grace kind of scope off with the darkest corner in this entire place and try to like kind of like glide slowly away from Anna while Nana is talking? Hope she won't notice.
Okay, give me you're trying to sneak away?
Yeah.
Okay, stealth check.
Straight up. That was a really weird one. 14?
Okay. On a 14, it is that thing of like, as you're kind of passing through the crowd near Mossy Shortbarrel's marble tournament, there are a lot of children and there are a lot of adults kind of like muddied up. And it's your moment to like just disappear into the crowd. Nana is a little preoccupied in that like she's doing the thing that all old little old ladies do at these sort of like parish gatherings, which is judging and reading everybody to filth, and is lost in it. And Noel is just going along with her. Ash has gone to set up her stall. Patter has also slipped away, but you, again, not as intentionally as you had tried to do, Grace. Patter just sort of like, I'll be away, and just kind of goes off to kind of meet and greet people. Grace, you do that like, oh, what's that over there? And you turn, but the rest of you see Grace just sort of like, just sort of slip away from Nana Medewin's clutches. Is she the villain? Yeah, she might be. What's everybody else doing?
Clodagh is going to follow Grace.
Hiya.
Trep is going to follow Clodagh.
I think Aster is keeping an eye on Clodagh. And just, I think Aster is eyeing Grace, not mistrustfully, but just, he's puzzling things together, and he sees a new piece of the puzzle that he doesn't understand, so he wants to just keep an eye on her, I guess. So he's keeping an eye on Grace, and then by proxy Clodagh.
Okay.
And by proxy Trep. It's like a little train of following each other.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a particular space that you were trying to hide in Grace? Like, is there something that you were trying to do?
Like, I'm trying to find somewhere where it's mostly shrouded in shadow, because this dress is loud as hell, but also like away from a lot of the attention. So where people are less likely to walk by, so I can literally just kind of like hide in there.
You, again, like I said, the building is a spiral. So there is like,
no corners.
any nooks?
Nowhere to hide.
No. What I was trying to say was there's like, as the building kind of like circles up around on itself,
mm-hmm.
there are little nooks and alcoves, like little seated areas where it's not going to hold the whole village, but there are little spots where like, oh, the crochet club can get together over here. And like, there's a tea and coffee club that are over there. Trep's the only member. Aster was going to sign up, but Trep was the only other member. So yeah, there's a small little spot that you've noticed. It's just a little quieted area.
You can still hear the kind of the commotion below. You're only kind of like a floor above. Patter Metamoon passed you as he kind of continued to climb up along the spiral, but you have sort of like slinked away. But no sooner have you kind of like found a quiet spot, and you can look out into the grove, mm-hmm. and you do see. Give me a perception check, actually.
12.
You're kind of looking out in like across the village, and you're not like 100 feet into the air, but just like on a little bit of a height, you can kind of see a little bit more of it, and you do see those glowing flowers and bulbs. And as you kind of look down to see what you're wearing, you realize that you are literally wearing a dress that has been inspired / ripped off of one of those glowing plants that seems to light up the village. Clodagh, then Trep, then Aster all kind of follow into the alcove.
I think Aster's just watching.
Okay,
Aster's
so you're kind of following. Hanging back.
Yeah, okay. Aster's just keeping an eye mostly on Grace.
Clodagh will have kind of detoured to the drinks table to just grab whatever is there and hand one to... She doesn't realise that Trep is following her. So she's just going to come into the alcove and hand one to Grace and say, "You look like you want to be here just as much as I do."
Yeah. I really, really didn't want to, but... Your grandmother is...
something.
A bully. Quite frankly, a bully. And scary lady. Scary yeah. lady. And I know quite a few of those.
Sounds like an adventure. I've met a few myself, but I'd rather not remember them.
I share that sentiment. It's something I'd never wish on anyone. So... What messed you up?
A hag. Oh, you've met one.
Something like that. Yeah, a being of considerable power who you never want to be indebted to.
Oh, sounds serious.
Unfortunately, it is.
Well, the hag I met is dead. She's entombed in a giant pink crystal.
Oh god, the things I would do to rid the world of my particular problem. But I have no idea where to even start. So, here I am, hiding.
Is that why you're here?
You're not dumb, Clodagh. No, that's not why I'm here.
Oh. Well, I mean, you're the first person to ever find their way into the grove willingly, so...
Well, it's not particularly willingly. I was heading this way, and then I came across 3 men, and I was knocked out by... Oshin, I believe, and I was dragged here against my will, so not willingly.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that. He's kind of my brother and takes his job really seriously.
Would you take offense if I hit him?
No, definitely not.
Great, okay.
I've tried so many times. He's just really good.
I owe him for that.
What's Trep doing at this point?
Oh, we, you know.
Yeah, just standing.
Just standing. Same thing he's been doing for the last 24 years. Just standing there. Oh. Ears dragging on the ground.
Oh. So I would like to say Aster can read lips and has been reading Grace's this whole time.
Okay.
And would like to roll insight about the not willingly being here thing. He just wants to kind of get a little bit of a
yep.
read on her.
Give possible. Me an insight check, please.
Disadvantage, so it's... Plus,
Grace is going to give you the fingers from the shadows.
Inside this.
I got a 17, which would have been a 24, and then a 2, which is a 9, so 9.
It's
2s, man.
I know, all of my rolls have been 2s so far. It's so annoying.
Mine have most have been 10, that's so weird.
Aster, as you...
I've also rolled.
I'm here too. Aster, as you try and make sense of what's this grace, you heard the rumors of the someone coming to the Grove, mm-hmm. Being imprisoned by the captain of the Grove Guardians. You don't know much about her. You haven't engaged with her. Nana mentioned her a couple of times, but seeing her kind of sidle up to Grace, seeing Grace sidle up to Clodagh, maybe it is that thing of, maybe it's because she's from the outside that Clodagh's able to talk to her more, mm-hmm. or something, but you find yourself kind of like just watching, kind of waiting to see or get a sense or a read on who this Grace woman is. You can't concentrate. You feel that sort of that tiredness behind your eyes, like it's like a numbing pain. And as you kind of watch, and you see you can read and almost hear what Grace is saying to Clodagh and back and forth. You can't get a fix at all. It's almost like it's just that you can't get a handle on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can Grace feel Aster's eyes on her? Or can Grace actually just see legit Aster standing there like...
Well, you're not hiding, nope. Per se, but it's that thing of like, I'd say Aster is a little bit away, maybe kind of like stirring a drink and just kind of surveying. Trep is literally on top of the pair of you.
I've been actively part of the conversation. If you play that back, like...
Grace has actually been looking at Trep while saying all these things, so...
I've also fought a hag.
The hag love.
That's not what my name is.
That's no way to speak about Nana Meadow.
No, that's just straight up bully.
The evening kind of continues on without any incident. It's that sort of... I mean, it's kind of what you'd expect from the potluck. It's people sharing food, drink, conversation, talking about the weather, talking about plans for Xmas, the odd occasional kind of look to Clodagh and the prisoner guest. They're off for Pat. Just these, you're picking up these little bits of conversation. You can see people are playing games. There's a smattering of musicians in the back, some of whom you went to school with, Clodagh and Trep. They call themselves the Groove Masters. Trep, you auditioned for them, you didn't get in. There's nothing too exciting. And not until kind of Nana kind of just shouts out, "Where's that Usheen fella, huh?" And a few people do kind of look at, well, where is the captain of the Guardians? He's supposed to be here.
You've been listening to Grovers in the Heart, a Romancing the Dungeon special featuring Eilish, Ben, Tendai, Dahi, and Apollo. I am Declan, and I've been your Dungeon Master. It's been an interesting time getting to know all the various characters within the Grove, and I'm so excited to continue to explore this space with you. There's quite a lot happening around the D8 dungeon sphere at the moment, and as busy and as old as it gets, I'm very much looking forward to spending time here in the Grove, and who knows, seeing how it's going to impact us in the main campaign that we've just started recording, and it has been a wild ride so far. I'm fighting the urge to give spoilers. If you want to know more about who we are and what we do, check us out on all major social media platforms at D8 Dungeon. You can head on over to our Discord server where you will meet some of the best people in the whole world. And you can check out our other shows on twitch.tv/D8Dungeon. That's it. That's all I have for you. We're back in 2 weeks' time. We'll see you then.
What?
Oh, that's why she is the way she is.
That's why.
Yes, that's what it is.
But you're not recording, right?
No, I got that. Ladies and gentlemen, we got her.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We got it.